Yes, Lord, we just pray today as we share your word, as Paul asked for prayer, that you'd give us the words to speak, utterance may be given, and that boldness to speak it the way I ought to speak it, Lord. Hope or confidence is in you, and it's not in us. I pray also for the hearers, that their ears would be open to hear. Not what I say, but what the Spirit is saying through me today, Father. We live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Today, you said, today, if we would hear your voice, today, you are the living God. So you speak today. And we live by those words. So God, we're just counting on you this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise God. Turn to John chapter 6, John 6:53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And so from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe you are sure and sure that you are thou the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was who should betray him, being one of the 12. What we want to look at today is in 63. It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. We were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God. The spirit, in John 3, we know that Jesus said, you must be born again, or must be born of the spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You must be born again. The flesh profiteth nothing. And what is to die in us is the flesh. The flesh is to die, because the flesh gets things messed up. It just takes things and it gets spiritual things messed up. And so that's why he tells them, you know, you're listening to me in the flesh. You're not listening to me in the spirit. And these were his disciples, you know, those that were following him at that time. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Peter said something of the same thing that, you know, before he would leave, you know, he would tell them again, you know, even though I've told you again before, I'm going to tell you again. And some things we need to hear again and again and again and again, because we're living in this world, and the God of this world is all the time trying to feed us his way and his words, and his words bring forth fruit too, death. But God's word brings forth life, and it actually destroys the flesh. It destroys sin. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder soul and spirit and bones and marrow, discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. So finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Beware of the concision, the Judaizers, the ones that want to preach that you have to be circumcised. Well, we don't have that problem today. Not that problem. But the same Spirit is here. The same Spirit. And it's the Spirit of Antichrist. It's the same Spirit that the Israelites had. That they had of going about trying to establish their own righteousness and not submitting themselves unto the righteousness that God wants to give us. The life that God wants to give us. The things that God wants to give us. We can only give freely what we receive freely. So we've got to see that. It is not earned. It is something we receive by simply believing what he says to us. And the faith we need is in the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I don't pay attention to the word, or if I let the word slip, then the faith is not going to be there. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith and of your faith. And Jesus is the word of God. And so when he says, flesh, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no place in me. And I always like to, I look at it as the flesh is the word of God. The spirit is the blood. The life is in the blood. And it's the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and of death. So, but we are the circumcision. We're the real circumcision. We've been circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. But not by the flesh, not by man, but by Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual circumcision, and it's in the heart. Even way back, we read that before, but way back in Exodus, Moses wrote, you know, that this is what God said to him, you know, oh, these people, that their hearts would be circumcised, that their heart would be circumcised. But he was speaking, this is, again, that was a shadow, and this is the time that he did it. It's in Jesus Christ that we are, our hearts are circumcised in him. So, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Because he grew up in a religious family. He grew up in a religious life. He grew up knowing what was right and what was wrong. By then, what was the word of God? You search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are them that speak of me, yet they didn't know it. They couldn't see it because they had a veil over their face. They couldn't see it. But when we turn to God, he takes the veil away, and we begin to see things that are not on the surface, but they're under the surface. They're things that the Spirit of God brings out to us. And it's the same thing when we speak his word to those God has called. All of a sudden, they begin to see things that you can never explain to them. You can never bring it out enough that they could understand it with their head. because it isn't to be understood with the heart, with the head. It's to be understood in the heart. Amen? Satan works through our head and he works through our heart. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. And then he goes to say the things that he could put confidence in. He was circumcised 5. He was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, is blameless. But that he was blameless according to what they got from the law. But he wasn't blameless in God's eyes. He was blameless in man's eyes. Because he didn't see who God was. He didn't know who God was. And the more we get to know God, the more we see how we need to change. The more we see in ourselves. And again, we're going to be like him when we see him face to face. That's when we're going to be completely changed, completely turned over. But now, just like Paul here, we're going to see it. He had zeal, right? But what was he doing? He was doing the devil's work, right? And he thought he was doing God's work. Jesus said that about his disciples. Men are going to persecute you, and they'll think they're doing God a favor. Sometimes some of the people that come against you are more what we would term religious people than heathen. But concerning the zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I've got to count them loss. I've got to give it up. I've got to let it go. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen? So when I see somebody with a bunch of tattoos or a bunch of earrings or wherever, my natural flesh cringes at that. And there's some things that they do my natural flesh cringes at. But that's not the Spirit. Because God has the capacity to love them without seeing all that other stuff. And he has the capacity to go in there and call that one and pull that one out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? So you're right, Bill. What gets me is when I have to go speak to somebody and I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What can I do, God? The thing that really, really bothers me, in a sense, is it's here. It's here. How to be everything God wants me to be and to do everything God wants me to do. But it isn't like that. But if I never press, if I never get into God, if I never seek him, I'm never going to get there. But I know that God has the capacity to minister to somebody through anybody. Amen? Mm-hmm. Nothing is impossible with God. So what's hindering me? What's keeping me? Well, the Bible tells me my flesh is fighting against the Spirit, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh, so you cannot do the things that you would. James says it's a double-mindedness. It's double-mindedness. And we're like the disciples. We're always thinking, you know, because Jesus threw him a bone and said, you know, you believe. Yeah, we believe. We believe now. Yeah, we believe you're the Son of God. Yeah, just before Jesus. Oh, you know, you believe me now, huh? Yeah, well, by tomorrow, you're all going to deny me, right? Before the cock crows 3 times. You're going to deny me, Peter. You're all going to deny me. You're all going to leave me. Because we don't see. Now we see through a glass darkly. And the closer we get to God, I read something today as I was these songs that we played. I looked at one of the comments, and the guy must have been a preacher. And another preacher answered him. And I can't remember exactly what he says, but I knew, I felt what he was saying. Here's the answer for those people. Here's the answer that they need. Amen? For the drug addict. For alcohol, whatever the problem is, this is the answer. And if they knew the truth, if they knew the truth would make them free. So here comes you and I into the situation. Now God's given me of His Spirit. So I have His Spirit. And that Spirit's there to lead me and guide me into all truth. Amen? And just like Jesus said, I'm not healing them. My Father in me, He's doing the work. I see my Father work and I work. Well, I want to see my Father work. I want to hear my Father speak. I want to know what to say. And I know it isn't always, you know, it's always not going to be bam, this instant they turn right around. Sometimes it just takes time. It takes time. But you're steadily plowing the field. You're steadily giving out the word. But you're giving the word that God wants you to give. That word will not return to you void. It will not. It will accomplish that which He pleases. It'll prosper in a thing wherein to He sent it. We went to go see some people over in Penol, Greg's grandfather, and there's a guy in a room with him who lost his legs, and he's only 55, something like that. It doesn't matter anyway, and then Amy's brother was in there. And so here they all went out to the courtyard, and it was a nice day, so we went out in the courtyard, and then your uncle was there too, right? Family reunion. And Amy was there. And there was a girl that worked there at the facility, and she was there to help them, give them what they needed. And talked to her brother a little bit, just a little bit, just talking, and we prayed with him. And, you know, I went to go see him, and then these other people were there, and I'm praying right in front of everybody else's. I don't know if you noticed it. I don't know, but I just, when I get up to leave and her uncle started talking to me and started talking to him, and they're all just right around in this little thing under this pavilion, and this girl sitting there in the middle, she works there. So I'm talking to these guys. I looked at that girl, and I just felt so helpless. Inside, I just felt so helpless to help her. She's not there because she has a physical problem. She's working there. But she had a spiritual problem. But God wants to meet that problem. God wants to use us to help them, help people. And so I know where the connection is. You know what I mean? We know this is what they need. And we need, you know, I want to be His hand extended, right? You want to be able to come into the situation with a word, not of condemnation, but a word of restoration, right? We want that. That's what the Spirit is putting on our hearts, that we feel what Jesus felt. He looked on the crowd with compassion, not judgment. He judged the righteous leaders, but not... Anyway, I want that. And that's what hit me this morning when we were singing that song. And then I come here, and it's like, I've got to feed you people. And I've got to rely on God, and we got to pray for one another. We got to believe with one another. And that's why it's so important we pray these prayers for one another, that we all be strengthened with might in our inner man by His Spirit. Amen? His word and his spirit, the shotgun. You got to have both. You got to have the word and you got to have the spirit. Because the spirit, the word without the spirit is a dead letter of the law and it kills. But the spirit without the word, you're going to get off somewhere. You're going to fly off, fling away somewhere. I remember the Lord showed me that one time, and I, you know, I had no example of it. And then this guy came, well, he's been here, Alan Claycomb. He was a missionary to Chile for a while, and he was in another place, Guatemala. Anyway, he was in Chile, and he told me some of the churches down there were more spirit than they were word. They had happenings, but they didn't have the word. And so they were cuckoo. They had signs, all right, but they somehow, you know, the other churches, the other places he went, you know, they had the word, but they didn't have the spirit. But these people had the spirit, had some kind of a spirit. They were into the spirits. Let's put it that way. All right, 8. Yea, doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all these things and do count them but dung that may win Christ. We were going to a church when we first came here, Pentecostal church down the road. Didn't know anything about Pentecostals, didn't know anything about that. We came from up from down there, charismatic church, anyway, we were going there, and we met these other people. They were about our age. Well, we had these prayer meetings, and then, you know, God was really moving, just really, and we didn't know nothing. We didn't know anything. And these young people started coming. I mean, just really, anyway, and we would get the pastor to baptize them. The pastor was, you know, we weren't doing anything against the church. We were connected with the church. The pastor was, it ended up that the group, that pastor left. They got a new pastor, and he wasn't, anyway, there wasn't a move of the Spirit. Anyway, these people left, and they said, well, we want you to be a leader. They want me to be a leader. Well, I don't know anything. And so, but I kept going to the church, because I didn't think it was right for me to leave. And so, but then finally, well, anyway, what happened was, they wanted to meet on Saturday, okay? Well, you know, I was raised a Baptist, and so you don't do anything on Sunday. So I work, and so the only time I could do anything is on the weekend. I had stuff to do around the house. And anyway, I remember being out there with a wheelbarrow fixing the holes in the driveway, and people were going by, you know, dressed up with a tie, looking at me, and I felt like I really felt, and I shared it with a guy, because I says, yeah, I know, I says, I'd be working in houses, you know, and I talked to somebody about the Lord or something, and they, oh, where you go to church? Well, you know, and he said, they sort of look at you like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're a weirdo or something? Now, I'm not 100% sure if I did the right thing or not. I don't know. But I do know this. It helped kill my pride in my religiousness. Because the very thing they were... what I was thinking they were thinking when I was working on my driveway was the things that I thought when I drove by them and said, they ought to be in church. And maybe I wouldn't even say it. I would just... think it. You know what I mean? Or if somebody say, I don't go to church, you know, I guess I'm thinking, oh, you guys are backslidden. And here I am, have this small group, and they don't want to go to church. They want to, and so I felt had to go because they wanted me to be there, and then that blew up. But it all worked. God worked it out, or else I wouldn't be ordained to be a preacher. I'd still be in that church up there as a going to that church. But anyway, that's another story. But the thing is, these things that we hang on to, they're spiritual things. They're spiritual things, but they're negative spiritual things that God's got to clean us out. Because Paul said, they doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, if we put this with in Galatians, when Paul said about Peter, when they were there and they were all eating together, and then these Jews came from Jerusalem, and all of a sudden Peter gets up and moves. And then Barnabas gets up and moves because they were brought up, you don't eat with Gentiles. What is that? Religion. Right? Right? No, he said it. Yeah, he said it back here. But this is a new covenant. Right? Right? And so Peter, whose shadow is healing people, still believes that there's a difference. His old flesh. Religious flesh. Remember, the flesh lusts against the spirit, against the spirit, against the flesh. You can't do the things that you would. So if you might have a trouble touching me if I could get people to get healed by my shadow. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why God doesn't use some of us. But he wants to get to the pride. He wants to get to the spiritual. We can't have, God resists the proud, but he always gives grace to the humble. And see, like we said before about John, the beloved disciple, it leans upon Jesus' breast, and the other disciples ask him, what do you mean? Ask him. You know, you ask him. you're close to him. You ask him. He sees Jesus as he really is, and he falls on his face. I don't do that. I did it this morning. Only I didn't do it. Okay, I'll confess. All the time I'm down there, I'm thinking, those people are going to think I'm putting on an act. Those people are going to, what does it matter what you think? Right? Come on, if it's God, what does it matter? What am I worried about? Self. Right? Well, self is part of the flesh. I remember one time in the tent meeting
at John Oldham's farm, and Dan Deal was praying for people.
I went up and they prayed for me, and I fell down, and I'm laying there on the ground, and I was there for a couple seconds maybe, and it was like, okay, that's enough. You fell down. I'll get up. And I couldn't get up. I mean, I just wanted to get up. It was like God's, just stay there. Just stay there. No, I gotta get up. I gotta get up. I couldn't get up. I just couldn't get up. And then when I did get up, well, they could say I was drunk because I couldn't walk straight. But this stuff, see, this stuff, this is why we got to continue to seek to get into God and continue to get into Him. And you got to be humble enough to receive, because it still says in James, if I receive with meekness the engrafted word, now the word that's coming to me is coming to me every day, today, if I will hear his voice, amen? Because when I get to the place where I can't receive his word, when I know what's going to happen, I've what? Yeah, I've grieved and also hardened my heart. So I gotta be like Paul. I gotta be full and yet suffer need. Even when I'm blessed, even I'm blessed beyond measure, I need you more. Amen? Amen? I need you more. Okay. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Herein is the righteousness of God in Romans 1, from faith to faith, right? That I may know him. And this is what Moses prayed. Show me thy way that I might know you. Amen? That I might know you. And this is the goal, to know Him. Amen? Because to know Him is to love Him. And if I love Him, I will keep His commandments. Amen? It just all goes together. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Well, if I'm dead, how am I going to live? You can't be resurrected unless you die. Right? You can't receive grace unless you need it. Let's put it this way. You can't receive grace unless you know that you need it. Amen. Because you may think you don't need it, but you need it. I need it. I need you more. More than yesterday. I need you more. That I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the resurrection life living in me, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, but He took upon Him the form of a servant, and even humbled Himself to die, because that was the plan. Alexander Daly came, you know, to America. At first when God started to use him to heal people, he didn't even know what healing was. And he was in Australia, and he was at this church. He was just starting out, you know, just a young guy. And the plague was going through Australia, and so it was starting to, people started dying in his church. And he went back to his office, and he said, God, you know, if you take all my people, I won't have anybody to shepherd. He says, I'm not taking them. Anyway, he put that word into him, and he went out and he started praying for the people, and none more died. None of them died. But he just thought that was some kind of a fluke or something for a while. But then it caught on. He got it. Finally, after the years, he got it. Came to America. He opened up a tent right across in Chicago, right across in the World's Fair, and some prominent people got healed because people, the newspapers, everybody was blasting him because of what he was preaching. And God used him mightily. Somebody said to him one time, you have the spirit of Elijah. You have the spirit of Elijah. And he rebuked the guy. But you know, that word got into him. And it started to work in him. And it started to bring forth fruit. And he started to think, yeah. Because at this time, if he'd go preach in the church, and people would throw rocks through the window and stuff. I mean, he just stirred up controversy. The Chicago police would come out and get him. Even outside of Chicago. So when he seemingly won everybody over, that's when he went weird. And he wouldn't listen to anybody. And he started doing weird stuff. And when the guy that wrote the book went to go see him on his deathbed, you know, he confessed that that's what had happened to him. That's how he got away from God. And he had preached in Philadelphia. But he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. We never get to the place where we don't need God. We need God. Okay. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. God's always out there. You know what I mean? Like, we might catch up. We seem to catch up to where He's telling us, but then it's going to be like, okay, it's time to move because I'm out there. And He's going to reveal something else that's out there. It's always, somebody told me that in the beginning. It's like putting a donkey in front of a mule. To be nice. Okay? To get the donkey to move. And it's like, we want this. I want this. I see it. I see it. It's possible. I want it. It's for everybody. But I got to go after it. I've got to go after it. I press. He says, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. Wait a minute. Your rightness. you've experienced all this stuff in your journeys, in your missionary journeys. You're really doing a lot for the Lord. He's doing a lot, but he knows there's a lot more. Amen? Yeah. And I know there's a lot more. I know that God can do a lot more through you, through me, through us. Amen? Yeah. It doesn't matter how many people. What matters is God with us or no. Are we with God? God doesn't have to go anywhere. We have to go where he is. We have to move from where we are to where he is. Okay, humble yourself to walk with God. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he's not just chasing something that might be out there, but this is specifically for Paul. Amen? And there's things that God wants you to specifically do and to be. And these things are way out there. And the only way we're going to do them is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And so he's building the house. We're his workmanship and everything. And we, and Bill knows, and you've probably heard this before, but you might look at a beautiful house, but if the footer isn't there, it ain't going to stay beautiful long. The footer's got to be there, and it's got to be right. Right, Bill? And the soil's got to be right that the footer's put on. Because if it moves, the whole house is going to come down eventually. And there's a lot of houses that have come down. I was thinking the other day, I was walking a couple days now, it came to me, people that we were associated with in our journey. And some of them have gone on. Some of them are, you know, God's using some of them. Some of them are down in Klebiot. Some of them are, you know, different places. But other ones, I don't know where they're at. Some of them have died. And some of them just like in a race. I was never run, I could never run fast. So I went with cross country because it took a long time. Boy, they'd start at this, you start, and man, everybody takes off, and I'm the last one, almost the last one. Anyway, these people, some of these people just, this was all new to them. Healing, all this stuff was new to them. And they just, man, they'd buy every book, they had every tape they could get a hold of, and they were just fire. And they crashed. He's dead now. His wife came here one time. Praise the Lord, the other couple's still around, but, and they're the ones who initially went, you know, got us started, in a sense, starting the prayer meetings. His brother died. He had a gift for knowing, he could discern things, and he knew things, but there were things in his life that weren't fixed up, and he crashed. And another guy that used to come, man, he could praise the Lord, he could pray. You could go to another, you know, we go to meetings or something in a church or a convention somewhere, and you could hear him praise God. He just had a, you know, he just had a loud voice. He was just, that's just the way he was. And I don't know where he is today, but he wasn't going in the right direction for a while. Another guy that came along who said he was a Christian sort of.
Led him astray.
We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. The enemy's out to get us. I'm reaching forth unto those things which before I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. But he wasn't there yet, but he was pressing towards the mark. Amen? Mm-hmm. Quickly, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. I don't think this fits any of us, but in case you run across somebody. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, that really means family, love, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Yeah, we got that today, amen? Traitors, heady-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, yes, yes. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. It's funny that, you know, they have a form of godliness denying the power. Now, we said before that the power was the dunamos, which is dynamite. We get our dynamite from, which means to do miracles, miraculous things. But also, well, it's miracles too. But it has to do with our morality. It has to do with our walk. And so when you put it and you plug it in with the chapter, you see that he's more speaking of their walk with God than it was with miracles. Amen? Right? They're men, they're lovers of themselves. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, disobedient to parents, they're unthankful. Okay, well, that's all those people out there. Just couldn't anybody in the church, okay? Well, I read this in the commentary, but they got it out of a newspaper. A Dear Abby thing. This woman, she wrote Dear Abby. She said, I'm having an affair with a man, and she says, I don't really think there's anything wrong with it. She says, we meet every week for, I won't read and get into all that. But she says, I still relate with my husband. I still have sex with my husband, everything. I don't deny him. And I teach a Sunday school class, and, you know, I go to church, and I feel no guilt at all. I just feel that, you know, that God understands or something like that. And it's like, huh? They have a form of godliness. She's teaching little kids. And she has a form of godliness, but she denies the power. The power, what power? The power of the Holy Spirit to give her morality, to give her, to know that when God says, don't commit adultery, thou shalt not, he means don't, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. So it doesn't matter, you know, sin hath pleasure for a season. But that's not the end of the story, right? At the end of the story, and she's 63 years old. Not that age has anything to do with that. It's the spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Amen? So even when you get older, it isn't going to help you in that way. Okay? But it's this woman's going to hell. Amen? And she thinks it's okay. And we know about homosexual, you know, there's homosexual churches. We know somebody that has a son that belongs to a homosexual church in Philadelphia. And they speak in tongues and they have prophecy. And they think they're okay. I'm not God, but I know what it says, and it just doesn't say it one place, does it? Right? So there are those out there who would say to you, yeah, I'm a Christian, but do you know the power thereof? The power to save you from your sin. Amen? And if you're ever caught in something, if you're ever caught in something, I mean, in a sense, if God reveals something in your life, you just think, man, I can't give that up. Can't give that up, you know. The teddy bear can't go. I can't give that up. Then what you do is you just, God, forgive me and take it away, Lord. Take it away. I'm trusting in you to take it away. Because he said, Jesus will save me from my sins. Amen? Amen. Now I can't have it unless I... And I believe that it'll help me. Amen? Mm-hmm. And though it tarry, I still got to wait. I got to see that's the way. Amen? Alcoholic Anonymous is not the way. If that's the problem. Whatever the problem is, God's is the answer. Amen? Yeah. He's greater. The spirit that's in you is greater than your flesh. The thing is, I've got to tap into it. And I tap into it by asking and receiving with meekness what God's speaking to me today. Today. And what Nicole said about the shelf, and what other ones say about, you know, the little things that God does, and you think, how about this over here? But it just lets us know he cares, and he knows everything you need. Amen? And he wants to provide it. He's a good, good father. The father provides for the son, for the children, not the other way around. Amen? What God needs from me is my reverence, my reverential fear in regarding him as who he is. You're my father who is in heaven. Amen? And he delights in giving good things to them that ask him. We being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more he gives a spirit to them that ask him. And I need to be filled with the spirit, amen? More and more and more. And part of that is singing, like Will brought up, you can bring him in again. Is singing, you know, singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen? Amen? And then relying on the Spirit of God. And sometimes you got to start, well, they say you got to start in the flesh, but what it is you don't feel it. But the Spirit that's in you wants to praise God. And what you got to do is you got to get yourself by the neck sometime. You're gonna praise God because he deserves it, right? That's why David said, let everything within me praise his holy name. Amen? Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Hallelujah. You and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And how does he strengthen us? But through his spirit. So when I see my brother sin has sinned, it is not a death, I can pray for him and God will give him life. But I also pray that he would be strengthened with might in his inner man by his spirit. Amen? I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray for, you know, I can pray, God, open their eyes to see this. Open my eyes to see that. Help us, Lord. Amen? That we might be everything that God has called and chosen us to be. Let's play that song then. Actually, I want to play the last two. And you can stand with me and let the Spirit of God... Jesus. For where
Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes.
When I'm doing well, me never see the crown, for my reward is giving glory to you.
Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright in me.
Yes, Lord.
Replace,
yes,
the hand of my first love
that burned with holy fear.
I'll
take is giving glory to you.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see.
He's going to play one more. Before we do that, I want to just say this. When it says here, I want to shed, take your word and shed it all around. And please, it's not. I'm not bragging at all. I don't, but I'm in a jail, and I've heard other preachers say this too. You know, sometimes, you know, if they get a little bit of rowdy or something, you just start preaching. And it's like, man, they just, you can see they're being touched. And I know it's just, there's a lot more, amen? There's a lot more to God. I mean, never man spoke like this man, they said about Jesus. And again, it's not, it's the Spirit in us, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that Spirit's in you and the Spirit's in me. So, you know, whether it's speaking to a group or an individual, you know, to have that person well up and start crying, knowing that God is speaking to them, it blesses you more than it does them. Amen? It does. So that's why yeah, I ain't there yet. I want to get there. I want to get there. Okay. Yes, Lord.
No empty words, no lies.
No talking prayers,
no compromise.
I want to shine the light you gave.
Your
Son you sent to save us
from
ourselves and our despair.
It
comforts me
to know
you're really there.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again. Coming to
take me away. Life to me, so I might live. Share the hope you gave to me, love that set me free.
I wanna tell the world out there, you're not
some fable or fairy tale. No, made up inside my head. God, the Son, you've risen from the dead.
Father, we desire that, God. We want to be everything you've called each of us and chosen each of us to be. You told us today, exceeding abundantly, above what we can ask or think. It's above what we can believe, just like Gideon. But Lord, you supply that too. You're a good, good Father. Pay attention to what you're saying. Faith will be there. Spirit will be there. And then out of our innermost being will flow those rivers of living water. And some is going to judge, but some of them are going to drink. And they're going to drink that life, that everlasting life from the Spirit, from that well of water, it's in us, springing up unto eternal life. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for being long suffering with us. And we ask you, Lord, keep drawing us. Keep drawing us to yourself. Chasing us. Get us in line. We want to fulfill the call. We want to fulfill your purpose. We want to see your face. We want to be pleasing to you. Help us, God. Help us, God. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.